The Sci-Fora Film Podcast is a Thrave Productions podcast. The Sci-Fora Film Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Sci-Fora Film Podcast. I am Andy Walker, and as always, I am joined by my son Scott. Hello, Scott.
Hello there.
We are joined in thing with film and stuff.
Yeah.
So, how are you?
I'm okay. Are you all right?
It's debatable. In the words of Alex Harvey, I'm considering the situation. Yeah. We've got some new things on Zoom. AI companion.
Yeah, I know. I was wondering that.
Part of me wants to click on it, but part of me don't.
Well, part of me is a bit concerned because it's just been added to Zoom after we've done and released our episode on trashing AI films.
Yeah, that's very true.
Not that I'm sceptical or paranoid or anything.
No, not at all. Anyway, let's get on with things. So this week we have, once again, we've gone back to the same old of two short films and a feature film. And we have a whole program of science fiction this week. We will be doing the same next week, because after that we have 2 weeks of horror, because it's...
You're not saying it out loud.
It's Halloween.
Halloween.
Halloween. It's hello, Ian. Hello, Ian, wherever you are.
Hello, Ian.
So... yes, anyway, science fiction. So the first short science fiction film is from 2023. Well, at least we think it's 2023, because it's on Dust, and not all of their stuff is dated the same date that it should be. They put the date that they put it up, which isn't necessarily the date it was made or the date that it was originally put up onto YouTube. But there you go. Yeah. 2023, science fiction film called Phaedra. The director, writer... editor and the person who did the score and the sound for this is Liam Pugh. And the cast is Molly Masson, it's two S's, Macy Butler and Liam Pugh. The synopsis says, an assassin is sent to the remote planet Phaedra to eliminate a research team, but upon arriving, discovers a much bigger mystery when all the targets are already dead. So, what did you think?
I don't know, I find this quite weird. It took me a while to figure out whether or not it was computer-generated or real life. It looks...
yeah, I must admit, it does. It looks CGI.
Yeah. And it looks a lot more in places, but it's just, it's very bizarre the way it's done. But I like this. I like this idea, the idea behind it, and the way that they ended it. It wasn't sort of fully explained, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think one of the things I find with Dust films... A lot of films that us sort of incorporates the fact that they seem to know the whole idea of if they throw money at it, it'll make it better. And it works with some, but not all. And I think, I don't know, This is another film. I think it's a good film, but I think there's something missing for me, and I
Right.
don't fully know what.
See, I liked the effects on it. I was thinking the cinematography was really good, but then I thought, well, hang on a minute, it's CGI. It's so, we'd expect the cinematography to be good, really. I liked the sound effects of music and the kind of the all that kind of thing. That was really well done. But I can honestly say I think it's okay, but it does absolutely nothing for me at all. I got to the end of the film and thought, yeah. Because I didn't find it even a very good film. It was okay at best. But I don't know if that might be also a reflection of my mood at the time I watched it, because it didn't grab me at all.
No, I've got. I enjoyed watching it, but it's not the way that I sort of describe it is it was okay to watch, but it's not one that I would rush to go back and watch.
Yeah.
It's sort of, yeah, I've watched it, what's next? Not
Yeah,
like a lot of
I
films
really.
which is you sort of go, I could watch that again.
I really did. It really didn't do anything for me at all. And I wasn't. By the end of it, I was like, oh, well, okay, that's over. It was really a bit sort of non. Yeah, it's maybe that's just me.
We need to get that put as a merchandiser at top.
Well, maybe it's just me.
Maybe no, maybe it's just none.
Yeah. It was all a bit non. Okay, the second film is also on Dust, and this time it's from 2022, and this is a film called The Grey. Director and writer for this is Myra Aquino. The cast is Cesar James, Nand Malhaswan, Monique Cheshire, Mary Birkin, John Atkins, Tita Pambid, Ben Cassidy, Nick O, Eero Liu, Lambert Grand, Victor Montesero, Johanna Thea, Isaac Rodriguez, Alejandra Miguel Avina, Paul Sheets, Patrick Boyd, and Bissy Chung. The synopsis of this film is: a former cop works in purgatory and processes people going to heaven or hell. One day, his 20-year-old son appears. Now, I mean, there are a few things it doesn't say in there, like the fact that they're sorted based on their morale, their moral compasses in life, and you have good. You have bad, and you have the grey section in the middle.
It's also, I think it's also,
Where it all comes from.
it doesn't also just say that the fact that their final words that they actually say at the time that coming to it as well, and it's just
Yeah.
like it's not just what you do while you're on this earthly plane, it's everything, and it's it's a bit.
For me, it starts off, and it has parts in it that made me think, oh, this is a comedy. But I'm not absolutely sure it is, because there was a lot about it that was very much a kind of moral tale of kind of the difference between good and bad, and it's being a grey area, and it's, you do things sometimes that you think are for the right reason, but they have the wrong result, or you do things that are wrong, but they have the right result, or things like that, So I kind of see what it's about and everything. And it's got some really quite funny bits in it. The whole it again was just a bit kind of nothing. It didn't have, as you said, it's something missing. It's one of those things where I just got to the end of it and thought, it didn't satisfy. It didn't really have that much going for it.
No, I totally agree. I teeth for that. And
Come on.
I definitely think there is something missing from it. Like, I think it's trying too hard in certain factors. Like you said, that it's the confusing area whether or not it's trying to be funny or if it's got them to sort of comedy factors involved in it. And I think for me, I agree, like it's trying a bit too hard with the certain factors of this is trying to be a comedy factor on them bits. Now, I agree with you the fact that there's certain bits of it that are meant to be serious or meant to be that sort of what would you do in that situation sort of times. And I think, I don't know, it's just, it's very bizarrely done. And I don't know, I agree with you though that there is something missing, and I'm not 100% sure what it is. Like, I can't just sort of put my
No.
finger on it and say this is definitely what's wrong.
And it's weird because it kind of, there are parts of it that I think I really like, and there are other parts of it that I'm really kind of, I don't get why that's there. And it's like the comedy that there is stops, it kind of stopped from being really funny because of the fact that the whole thing's kind of overcomplicated. I love the idea. I mean, the idea is a really good one.
It's for me, I don't think I was trying to run through in my head and run through other films. I don't think it's an idea that I've seen. Like it's one that I've seen variations of, but not
Because
done this way.
no, I mean, there aren't that many films that are kind of like a salt in between whether you go to heaven and hell and that sort of thing. And then there's the thing of like, whether you've done good or bad or what the whole thing is. So, but it's an interesting idea, and I think it's something that could be made into a really good film if it was done in a different way, because I think it was just overly complex and it just didn't sort of work properly the way it's done.
I think it. I think that's, like I said, it's overly complicated. If it'd been longer, I think he could have stretched it out a bit and not been as complex and been to a lot of everything going on at once. I think it's a great idea for a longer film, but as a short film, it doesn't need to be as complex.
I think the problem is that the idea is too complex for a short film. It needs to be made into a longer film. Not necessarily a full-length feature film, but definitely longer than it is.
Yeah, just even if it's just instead of a short film, just a.
I don't know what you call it. If it, in short story writing, you have short, well, in writing, you have short stories, you have novels, and then what falls in between is like a novella. And it's kind of that. That's what you need. You need something between a feature film and a short film. But I don't know what the name for that is. So if there is such a thing.
No.
We'll create one.
Yeah.
A filmella.
A film Ella.
A filmerette.
That sounds too much like Paul Weller.
A filmerette. Like a cigarette. It's a small cigar. There you go. All right. Anyway, so that's the short films done. Our feature film this week is a science fiction classic from a golden age of everything. The year in which gave us the beginning of Doctor Who on British television, and the year that gave us My Birth. So,
Yeah, I was going to say, I knew that bit was coming into
1963. And this is the film, The Day of the Triffids. The director, there's two directors. There's Steve Seckley and Freddie Francis. Now, Freddie Francis did loads and loads and loads of film and TV work. His film work, he did a lot of work for Amicus and Hammer, and lots of the British kind of horror sci-fi stuff was directed by Freddie Francis. He's just done loads of things. The writers are the original novel, and the original story is written by John Wyndham, who is a fantastic author, and the original book is brilliant. And he also wrote lots of other things which were later turned into other films and things like that. And Bernard Gordon, under the name Philip Yordan for some reason, but he or it was No, but it, sorry, it was written under the name Bernard Gordon by Philip Yordan. Don't get it. But they he did the sort of the screenplay and the and that sort of thing, turned it into the film it is. Now, the cast for this is interesting. We've got Howard Keel, who's an American actor who's mainly known for doing musicals. And this is one of the rare films he did that wasn't a musical. And it's a really kind of odd seeing him in this, because if you're used to seeing him in things like, Calamity Jane and it's just kind of weird somehow.
I've got me, and how many times I've seen this, I do keep expecting to burst into song.
Song, yeah. And Nicole Moray, who plays going, and now we have Jeanette Scott and Kieran Moore. They were under license from another film company, and Jeanette Scott was quite a big actress at the time, and it's just odd seeing her in this as well, in a way, because it's just, I don't know, it's a bit weird somehow. Then you have Mervyn Johns, who was a British character actor who was in so many of the Amicus and Hammer films and things like that. It's untrue. Then we got Ewan Roberts, Alison Leggett, Jeffrey Matthews, Janina Fey, Gilgie Howser, John Tait, Carol Anne Fould, Arthur Gross, Colette Wilde, Ian Wilson, and Victor Brooks. So the synopsis says, after an unusual meteor shower leaves most of the human population blind, a merchant navy officer must find a way to conquer tall, aggressive plants which are feeding on people and animals. It's not really a great synopsis, that, to be honest, but what I found interesting about this film, and I've seen this, I mean, I've seen this quite a few times over the years, and it is a classic. But what I still find interesting in this is the way that they have two separate stories going on, which are completely disconnected from each other, but are about the same thing. They're about the same thing of surviving against the Triffids. And it's quite interesting the way they do it, because it works. You kind of, quite often with that sort of thing, it kind of, you find that things get broken up too much and it's a bit bitty, but it works because of the fact that they use the second film, which is Jeanette Scott and what's his name, Kieran Moore, on the lighthouse. They use that to sort of like cover the bits in the main story where they're just kind of traveling or something, not a lot happening. So it kind of feels they both fill in gaps for each other, and it works really well. I've got to say, the effects of this are quite good, given its age. They are pretty good. I love the lighting effects for the meteor shower. I think that's brilliantly done, and that must have looked absolutely fantastic to a generation of people who have been used to watching black and white films. To watch something like this in Technicolor with all of that light show going on must have been incredible. The plant effects were, depending on when it was, they were, some of them were good, some of them were not so good. But my favorite bit for kind of like the moment where you kind of go, really, is when they're on the lighthouse and they chop a lump of the plant off and it comes back to life despite the fact they've been dissecting it. And it climbs up the stairs, and you can tell it's just somebody's got their arm. They're inside of like a sleeve that's made to look like a plant, and they're climbing up the stairs with their
Yeah, I know. It's I totally agree. Like this, I totally agree with this. I love this film mainly because of the fact that it's for years it was always just a joke for me to sort of blame things on the Triffids. Like it's always like, but it's just What I loved about it is the fact that everyone's reaction to it. I know the fact that 90% of the population was meant to be blind, was blinded by the meteorite site and the lights in the sky. And I get that. The fact that everyone seems to be perfectly fine with that.
I don't know. I mean, there is a bit of panic
A
and
little bit of
fears.
panic, yeah. But no one really seems to, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be a mass panic. The fact
No.
that there's these giant 8-foot-tall plants.
But they do seem
And
to be.
it's not even the fact, I get the fact that a lot of people are blind and they can't see it. But even the ones that can see don't seem to really have a reaction to the fact that these plants are walking for a start.
Yes, that's very true.
It's just yeah, it's
There's an interesting thing about it gets me, which is that it's Mervyn Johns. No, not Mervyn Johns. It's the right name. Yeah, it's Mervyn Johns. He explains what the Triffids are,
yeah.
and he does it in such a matter of fact way. This is a guy who is a groundsman in a stately home type place in the middle of the countryside in France, and he goes, "Oh, yeah, they're Triffids. I saw them. The original ones were in a greenhouse, and I saw them years ago. And they came to Earth at a meteorite. These must have come back this time, and they." And you think, "What did they look at you like this then? Then if you're not saying,
Yeah,
'My God, look at the size of them now,' or something."
again, this is what I'm saying, though, is just the fact that it's sort of he turns around and goes, yeah, the first one come to Earth from an asteroid, and everyone was like, oh, okay, and they go, yeah, this time they've come back and they've obviously got bigger, but
I think
really?
the thing about it gets me about it is it's a British film with an American lead actor that spends half of his time in France, and then a bit of a t well, no, some of the time in France, then in Spain. But it's still got that kind of British understatedness to it that the 1960s British films had. And it's kind of like, even when the criminals break into the country home in France, it's kind of like these criminals are dancing with these women, getting drunk, and nobody's really making any noise, or there's no, you know what I mean? There's no, like, the women aren't getting upset necessarily, they're just sitting there. The men aren't sort of being loud and boisterous, which you would think they would be if they were drunken
Yeah.
criminals who were getting hold of women for the first time. It just seems a bit weird. The whole thing seems really kind of understated and low key.
What I think is really funny, especially about that scene, is now obviously I've not spent any time in prison, but I know a couple of people that have, and you get to know the people you're in there with. You get to recognise their faces, and you get to know them. Now, he walks into a group of about 20 that are all being transported in a van, and
Yes.
have all have seen each other, and no one questions who he is.
Yeah, well, you know,
He just he walks in quite happily, and everyone's like, "Yep, he's one of us."
it's because he
It's
was carrying a gun.
like,
I don't know. But yeah,
it, I love this film.
that bit is a bit, but it's the way, I mean, the thing about this stuff, I mean, on a slightly serious note, and for in praise of it in a way, is no, it's imagine. I mean, I know that there were less people around, less traffic around, and all that kind of thing, and that sort of thing at the time. But the only other film I've ever seen where they managed to stop things in central London in order to film something to make it look like it was completely deserted is 28 Days Later, and
Yes.
they had a hell of a time keeping people off of that street and keeping people out of the shot. So you think to yourself, this must have been done in the early hours of a summer morning to get. And the thing is, you're talking, I mean, this is like real central London, central London. We're talking
Yeah.
the circus with nobody there, no
Not
traffic.
even, it's the thing, it's not even just nobody there, as in like people walking on the streets. There was, okay, I get you could probably close the roads and stuff like that, but there's no, no excess noise
No.
from on night. Obviously, I know that nowadays a lot of cars are quieter and stuff like that, but they weren't in the 60s. They weren't like silent cars, so you would they something would have been picked up, even if it was a horn or something.
And the thing is the fact that unlike some of the later shots, like all of the ones where they're driving along and the port of Cadiz when it's on fire, these are not super, they're not superimposed on a back shot.
No.
They're actually walking through central London, and it's kind of like, wow, that must have been a hell of a job to film this like that. That was one thing that did get me though, was when they're driving, there were two things. Firstly, they must have passed in their journey from in his journey from Moorfields to whatever station that was he was supposed to be at. I'm not quite sure exactly which one it was.
Yeah.
But in his journey from Moorfields to that station, and in their journey from the station to sorry, the station to London Bridge, where they finally get into a car, they must have passed at least 20 or 30 cars that were just abandoned by the side of the road. Why did
Yep.
they only get in that one? Why didn't they get in any of the others that were already, they'd already passed?
Well, do you know as well as I do that if it's apocalypse situation, you want to be in style.
But you know what I mean?
I've got to admit, it was something that crossed my mind. I sat there and I was just like,
He walks past right at the beginning before he even meets the girl. And I know he's got to go off and meet the girl. That's got to be the thing. But before he even meets her, he walks past a like a quite a decent looking car that's just abandoned by the side of the road with all the doors open. Why not just get in it and drive off?
yeah, I've got me. They're just saying this, it's. I know it's the whole. It's in the script and all that stuff, but yeah, it's one of the situations that even when he meets the girl, is that before he gets to the state, like before, as soon as he walks out the station, there's view there, and it's just like, okay, I get the fact that maybe you want to do the whole dramatic thing, but really, it's just sort of you pass that many cars before you find, and it's not like it's even like a smallish car either.
It's
It's quite a big car.
just an ordinary car. There's nothing special
Yeah.
about it. He's just
No.
actually sitting there with both doors open and nobody in it. And he gets in and starts it up and drives off. And you think, why haven't you done that already? Why bother walking all this way?
Yeah.
And then, you know, there are a few odd things like like you have an entire plane full of passengers. And none of them realize that any of the others are blind, even though they're blind, until one little boy says, is the pilot the one that's blind?
The
And they all go, oh, the pilot's blind. Would that not cross your mind at all? I would have thought, is the pilot
that would have
blind?
been my first. That would have been my second thought was, I'm on a plane. I've lost my sight. Has the pilot?
Yeah. Or maybe she just thought the lights had gone out. I don't know. It's just, you know. That was the
It,
that
I've
was the
got me
end
though.
of
I
it.
do agree with you with the puppeteering of the plants. Not only as we pointed out, the hand, or sorry, the limb of the plant that's walking along by itself, that the plants when they're walking for a start. Now, I have one big problem with this, and as much as I have this a lot with like zombie films and stuff like that as well, is the fact that there's a plant they see in the distance, a plant is walking across and ignores them.
Yes.
Doesn't bat an eyelid, doesn't go and attack them, and yet they all take the time out to use their bullets to shoot.
Yes. Well,
And it's just like, why? It wasn't attacking you. It's all you're going to do is draw more to you.
yeah, absolutely.
And it's just like, really? And I get the fact it's the whole dramatization of the film, and it's just like, you're not thinking, you go, we might best keep quiet. Let's leave these just in case.
It's like they're in a, I love that they're in a donkey and cart in the middle of Spain, and they find an ice cream truck that works. So they take the ice cream truck and work that works, and they're going to go drive off in that. And the kid starts throwing a fit about the fact they're going to leave the donkey behind. Now, personally, I would have said, "Well, you stay with a donkey, and we'll get in a truck." But there you go. That should. I mean, why nobody has done anything with that tune? Somebody somewhere out there, have a look at this film. Have a look at Day of the Triffids. Record that bit of the tune. Now, I mean, people have used the music from The Watch in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and that sort of thing, and used that in a sort of dance song. Why nobody taken this little tune that the ice cream van plays and used that in a dance song? I don't know, because I'm sure lots of people would recognise it. And it is really annoying.
It's just the thing, I don't know, it's just the whole, there's certain bits of it that I think is really an amazing film. And like you said, like we said at the beginning, the whole going from black and white and then seeing this and all having all the colour and having everything must have been amazing. But there's also certain bits of this that I look at and go, really? How did you fall for that? Like, even in the 60s where this is brand new, people must have looked at that and gone, what?
When you think of it right though, right, you look at this and you look at the sort of film it is, and you look at the effects in it and all that kind of thing, right? And you think to yourself, this wasn't a B movie.
No.
This was a feature film that would have been shown with a B movie attached to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, but I mean, you've got to look at it and give it a thing because of its age. You know, 1963, you gotta look at the fact that the effects that they had then, the things that they were doing in 1963, the way of film, unless you had an absolutely enormous budget, you wouldn't have been able to make this film better.
I've got to admit, like looking at some of the films that we've seen from that era, the same sort of time span. This is, and it says a lot. This is a lot better than a lot of the films. And I don't know whether or not it's because it's a British film and it's a what, but because I don't know, just a lot of British films from the 60s, the late 60s, early 70s, I'd say, seem to have. I don't know, have a better story to them than a lot of American films do.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say this ranks up there with films like The Forbidden Planet, and even possibly like the Day the Earth Stood Still and things like that, as far as being a classic sci-fi film goes. So, you know, I mean, it's got a lot going for it, I think. I mean, yeah, looking at it now, given everything that we know and everything we've had in the way of special effects abilities and all that kind of thing, it does look a bit cheesy and a bit like, you know, in some places the effects do look a bit ropey and all that kind of stuff. But you know, it's for its time, I think it was an incredible film, especially because the British films like this were made on a lot less budget than things like Forbidden Planet and all that sort of thing.
A lot of these films that were made for like this were a lot of they were TV, like straight to TV films, or even short little things that they sort of threw together, and
Well,
or even in certain cases, a lot of things like this were just radio stories. And to
they
have
look.
a film that was put at this in this capacity, that's okay, yeah, not all of it stood the test of time, but a lot of it is still good.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is you've got to look at the fact that a lot of the people who made these films were people who worked for TV and that sort of thing. And a lot of the time they were made, you know, up until the sort of like the, I suppose, until like Hammer and Amicus and people like that started doing their own thing at their own studios. Some of them were made in the same studios on by the same people that made the TV films and TV stuff. So, you know, they were made on a slightly higher budget than the TV stuff and that sort of thing, but it was the same sort of like skill set. I think it's quite an incredible film. It's quite a, I mean, yeah, there are bits that don't stand up because of the situation we're in now, and we know what, you know, can and can't be done. But I would be, I mean, even now, to be honest, if I was making a low budget science fiction film and I could make it look as good as this, I would be very happy.
Also, the thing you were just saying about skill set, it's the fact that this is one of the things that I think opened the doors up for a lot of films, especially modern day films.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the few times where things were used, not just in a capacity at all, but on a big capacity. Now, a lot of things they were used for like little TV things, so they might have only been seen a couple of times. And that it sort of, I think it helped with the whole Doctor Who era, adding to it with a lot of the creatures and stuff like that being involved in it. But you're saying if it wasn't for the animatronics, the puppeteering, whatever it was, with the plants and with the plants in this anyway, and a lot of other films, we wouldn't have the stuff that we've got now. And I
No.
think this film, as much as, yeah, like we said, it's looking at it now, you look at it and go, that's obviously rubbish. But if it wasn't for that film, we might not have had stuff like the stuff we've had lately with the animatronics that's been put out.
I mean, the thing about this as well is the fact that this was quite interesting in as much as it wasn't the creature that was attacking thing, you know, the enemy, if you like. They weren't just men in suits. They weren't just people with sort of other bits attached to them or whatever, you know,
No,
a
yeah.
mask on or something like that. They were actually a plant that was kind of made to work somehow, whether it be puppeteering or whether it be, you know, however it was done, it was
And
done.
what I liked about this as well is the fact that we've seen a few films where they go, oh, there's this really scary group of monsters, and you only ever see one.
Yeah.
Now, with this, okay, yeah, 9 times out of 10, and you only see one, maybe two on a shot at once. But when they do the whole the scene where they're fought, or the scene where the chime goes off on the ice cream van, and there's a group of them.
Yeah.
Okay, not all of them are moving, but to have still a group of them and have to make them and create them, and not just have them go, that's obviously a person in a suit,
Yeah.
or a person wearing an extra limb, or whatever, to have them all look the same, pretty much,
Yeah,
as
yeah.
most plants
Well,
do, and have them all working and moving. It's
well,
just.
I mean, I think some of the effects in this are brilliant for the time it came out and for the budget that they had and the sort of thing. I think that it's a great film, and it's still a film that I can enjoy watching. That's the thing about it, is the fact that there are some films that I've seen from the 50s, 60s, 70s, even the 80s, or even some nowadays that I watch, and you kind of like, as soon as you see them, you go, oh yeah, if I never see that again, I won't be worried.
Yeah, no, this
This
is.
sort of film where, you know, it's kind of, it was, I haven't seen it for quite a while, and I probably won't see it for quite a while again. But I sat down thinking, oh, don't Day of the Triffids, this is going to be good, because I
I, you know
knew
what,
it was being good.
I did the same thing. Like, obviously, this is, for me, this is a film that you introduced me to. We've watched before, and I remember watching this the first time with you. And it's one of the films that I sat there and I thought to myself, like, as we've said this before, when we've done films from the 60s and 70s and like sort of beforehand, I sort of roll my eyes out because I'm like, this is going to be awful. But I found myself genuinely going, I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
And it's not just because I've seen it before, but it's because it's a film that, for me, holds a lot of memories to it, for like stuff me and you doing and stuff like sort of having our nights that we just used to sit and watch films and stuff like that. But it's that whole sort of reminiscence thing, whole sort of memory told to it. But it's the fact that it's one of these films for me, but I know that there's people out there that I could sit there and go, so what's your first thought of it? And people would know what it is,
Yeah.
not have to sit there and go, oh, have you seen that film? Where 9 times out of 10, people that were listening to this, or people that go to the horror film festivals that we watch, or the film festivals and stuff like that that we all go to, 9 times out of 10, you're going to go to someone, what did you think of Day of the Triffids? And they're going to be asking you an answer.
Yeah.
It's a cult classic film, and I love the fact that there are a few films out there that you can still look at and go, yeah, they've not stood the test of time, but they're still enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I really like this film, and I kind of like, it was a joy to see it again. And yeah, it's as I say, I probably won't watch it for another 10, 20 years, but well, if I'm still around. But you know what I mean,
It's one of them films that I find that I think is it's because of the age of it, I think if it was, don't know, if it was more of a modern film, I think it would be one of the ones, yeah, you watch at night and but this is because it's, yes, it's a horror film and yes, it's got a sci-fi film and it's got a bit of a scare factor to it. It's not one of them ones that you have to go, we got to watch it away from the kids or watch it away from younger people. It's one that you sort of go, it's one of them ones that you sort of, you might not watch it for ages, but if you flick through, say, on a Saturday, Sunday afternoon, especially when it's raining outside and you go, yeah, let's watch this.
I mean,
And
if you,
it's,
I think if I turned the TV on and it was like Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon, and it said Day of the Triffids, I thought, oh, brilliant, I'll sit and watch that.
yeah, it's exactly the same. Like, and it's weird. It's the same. Like I said to you, it's got one of them films that's got the memories to it. But I would do the same if I don't. If I'm seeing, like, say, even now when we're recording this, it's quite late for us to do. So if I sat there and flicked through the channel and went, you know, like, Day of the Triffids is on, I'll sit and watch that, even if it means me sitting up until 2, 3 in the morning, because it's a film that I could sit at the end of it and go, okay, yeah, it's not been a waste, but it's something that I've enjoyed watching. And it's that sort of that almost wholesome feel of, I like this film and I like watching it. And yeah, like you said, it might be another 10, 15, 20 years, whatever, you might watch it again. But you know that when it comes around to watching it, you're not going to sit there and go, I'm going to get bored out of my skull. It's going to be in that enjoyable feeling again.
Absolutely. No, I don't. It's a great film, and I'm. It was nice to do. It was nice to do a nice film like this to kind of.
To be honest, it's nice to do a film where we don't sit there and rip it apart.
It is. It's honestly bit. Now next week, we. Oh no, dang, for let's go through the Phaedra and the Grey. We both thought there was something missing from them, and that they weren't. Really, that great, but watch them and make your own mind up and let us know what you think. And Day of the Triffids, we both loved it. We think it is a classic film, it's a great film. What next week we have got two short films again, three science fiction films, two short films again, and again, I'm not sure if this is a classic necessarily. It's an American science fiction film this time called This Island Earth. But it's from the same sort of time, sort of late
See,
50s, early 60s.
this is one thing I'm looking forward to, and I love the fact that we do this on the podcast, is the fact that there's a lot of films that we watch that I sit there and go, I remember watching that with you, or I've watched that and I've done that. And then there's days like this where I sit there and go, I don't remember watching this at all, but I've
No.
got a funny feeling this is going to be one of the films that I'm going to get halfway through and go, oh yeah.
But it's a weird film because it's one I remember watching a long, long time ago, probably when I was, I don't know, my teens, on the TV. But I don't remember it very well at all. There are certain pictures I've seen from it in magazines and books and on TV and things over the years, still pictures from it that I look at and go, oh yeah, I remember that film.
Well,
But I don't remember the film, if you know what I
the
mean.
poster for it for me, like, I've just looked it up, and the poster for it straight away is one of the images that I've looked at, and I go, I've definitely seen that before.
And it has, I mean, it has got the great, it's got Geoff Morrow in it, who is, I don't know. He's an actor, no, he's an actor I've seen in quite a few American science fiction B movies and things. And I often wondered why he never played Superman or Batman or Tarzan or Flash Gordon or one of those sort of heroes, you know what I mean? Because he's got that kind of look and the way he acts, he's that kind of person, do you know what I mean? He's almost like a kind of a 1950s James T. Kirk style. It's all ding.
It's the stand that is when he walks into a room and just stands and pulls that stance, you're like,
And he has that sort of rugged jawline and sort of, that look, that Matt, he's a manly man.
He's a man's man.
So yeah, that's what we're doing next week. And then, as I say, the 2 weeks after that, we will be doing our Halloween specials. because once again Halloween falls in between two of our episodes.
Yeah, we're gonna be doing a marathon sort of things this
We
time,
are
aren't we?
going to do two Halloween specials, and each one is going to be made up of 10, count them, 10 short films.
Because it's not like we have enough stuff to do as it is. But no, I'm really looking forward to this because mainly because of our, and I hate to say this, mainly because of the way that our specials have gone a few times with our horror specials, and I dare to say our Easter specials. But our horror specials seem to sort of, for me, have a bit more of a sort of pull on our viewer system and people listening because of the fact that we seem to do weird and wonderful horror films.
Now, I will say that some people may have noticed, may have seen online, over the last couple of years at different times, on the YouTube channel and on Facebook and things like that, that I have posted things where I say I do not like Halloween. I like the film Halloween. Don't like many of the sequels, but I like the film Halloween. I don't particularly like the holiday Halloween.
Yes.
There are many reasons for that, none of which I'm going to go into now because it'll bore
We
people,
could be here forever.
and I'll end up in a rant, and people will get bored. So, but I thought I would start the thing off by saying that our Halloween special, our first Halloween special, is going to start with a short film that's called "I Hate Halloween."
It's we could be here for a long time if that goes on his rant, so we'll leave it as it is. But it's just it's. I'm not an overly big fan of. I'm not a big fan of modern day Halloween. To rephrase it like that, I'm the whole American version of it that's over
Well, yeah,
here.
but it's not even that. It's what we do now is a kind of bastardized version of the American version of
Yeah,
Halloween.
it's the bit the sort of. Our English screw up, sort of screw up version of the American version of a pagan holiday that isn't actually anything to do with what the original idea is about.
Yeah, I mean, if you say the holiday Samhain,
Samhain, yes.
I'm fully behind that, and if people want to celebrate that, then I'm no problem with that whatsoever. But Halloween, as it is in the modern sense, I do not like at all. Especially with all the plastic bloody pumpkin things. Everybody's got to dress up
Don't
like
start, because we'll
Halloween.
be
It's
here
horrible.
forever.
Anyway, enough of that. Next week, we have two short science fiction films and the science fiction feature film, This Island Earth.
Yes.
So we will be back for that. Hopefully, you will be back for that too. And thank you, Scott, for once again being here and doing this.
I am glad that I could. I know I say this almost every week, but I'm glad I could do this and especially get to watch, say, films that I might not have watched off my own back, like actually going through and watching myself, but or re-watching in certain cases.
This is it. I mean, if certain films we haven't seen for a long time that we're watching again, and certain films like Low, for example, that I don't think either of us would have watched off our own back under normal
No.
circumstances. Don't worry about it. I've got one coming up called Drainiac. Anyway.
For God's sake! I love the way you randomly slip that in. It's. I say I like the way that we watch certain things, and yeah, there's certain films that I would say that we've watched mainly for our specials, and you know which one I'm talking about. That's made me question a lot of things that I now look at quite regularly. Well, especially come not so much now, but I will be in a few months' time when it comes to that time of the year again. But I'm mad and I refuse to buy anyone.
Where do the Easter eggs come
Don't.
from?
It takes a lot to turn my stomach, but but and also, as we said, getting to meet the people that we've met and talked to, and the opportunities we've had to get to know people. I love the
Absolutely.
fact that we're doing this, and the fact that we're still doing it after
It's our
three
third
seasons, four
season.
seasons,
This is our third
three,
season.
third, two, yeah,
Third, is it third? No.
four seasons
No,
now,
this is our fourth season.
yeah.
Yeah, we're most of the way through our fourth season, mate.
Yeah, because we started this We started this just before the lockdown
Just
started.
before the first lockdown, because we did
Yeah.
one review.
One episode where we were together and then the rest of them like this.
We've only ever done one review where we are together. We'll have to rectify that. We'll have to find a way of doing a one together again at some point.
Oh, it should be fun.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you to everybody and everybody for watching. If you want to contact us and give us ideas for films to review, either short films or feature films, old or new, preferably not too new, because we like to be able to actually go and see them without spending any money if possible, and be able to recommend them to other people so they can watch them without spending any money if possible. So we will put the links up for the films that we have reviewed this week, and we will see you next time. Thank you very much, and goodbye. Bye.
Bye.
The Sci-Fora Film Podcast. The Sci-Fora Film Podcast is a Thrave Productions podcast.